Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 20. I'll read verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. As I was, I happened to walk out into the fellowship hall about the same time Audrey and Garrett got here, and somebody was making quite a noise, quite a ruckus out there. As he came in crying away. And so I volunteered to put him to sleep. Now, I didn't get him to go to sleep, but he did quiet down. He quit crying. And but I couldn't help looking at little Wesley as I've been considering the Lord's birth all week long, kind of. I couldn't help but look at him and think of the Savior's birth. And think about, it's just something about holding a little baby this time of year. You just have to think about Jesus Christ coming to earth. And so it was nice just to hold him this morning and that I gave him up and he still wasn't crying. He actually was starting to nod off a little bit. So, and he's sleeping, so I'll try not to be too loud this morning. So when we think about this passage, what is important about our celebration of Christmas? Many look forward to spending time with friends and family, and I'm sure many of you will do that today. This year, my Christmas is a little different because I get to spend time with Nick. And that's not like a big, joyous, Merry Christmas type of thing, because with Marilyn gone and everything, it's hopefully she'll be flying out here in a couple hours to Edmonton. To spend Christmas Eve with her grandkids up there. Hopefully that works out. We all think about spending time with friends and family, and we all understand the real reason Christmas and why it's so important. But if you're going to go out into the street and ask people why Christmas is important, you'd probably get a lot of different answers to why Christmas is important. So let me ask a question. What meaning of Christmas is important to you? And that probably would be best stated by what your normal Christmas looks like. Now, obviously, Christmas on Sunday isn't the norm. Like I said, it's going to be 11 years before it happens again. Some of us might not even be here in 11 years from now. You know, that's it's a long time. What is the meaning of Christmas? Why is it important to you? What was man's greatest need 2,000 years ago? Was man's greatest need food for starving people? Was it money for impoverished people? Was it peace as far as military and country-to-country peace? What is man's greatest need today? Is it finding a solution for so-called global warming? Is it to fix the crisis in our country? There's so many crises in our country right now. Or is it to strive toward world peace? Man's greatest need is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. And the answer to man's greatest need is also what is important about Christmas. That great news that verse 10 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." That good news of great joy, that a Savior had been born. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." No longer would mankind have to wait for the promised Messiah. He had been born. So just as Christ, just as a child waits all year for Christmas, as a child, maybe you remember that thinking, oh, Christmas is coming. And you're thinking about the gifts that you will receive at Christmas. And Christmas, as a little child, often is about presents and those types of things. One thing that we try and do, we did every year before, when first thing we did when we got up was we would read the Christmas story. We would read Luke chapter 2. And we would just spend a little bit of time praying and thinking about Christ's birth. But still, children often just think about the gifts that they're going to receive. Now, the Jews had been waiting for their promised Messiah all this time. They had been waiting for him to come. And the great news that Jesus was to be a Savior was great news indeed. So, will the message of Luke 2 be a part of your Christmas traditions this year? Some of you are just starting families. What type of traditions will you make for your family? Will you make sure that the first thing that you discuss on Christmas morning is talk to the kids about why are we celebrating Christmas today? What is the main purpose? Yes, we love you and we want to give you gifts. Yes, we do have family and friends over and we have meals and those types of things, and we love that family time together. But what is the most important aspect of Christmas? And so before we go any farther, I forgot to pray. Let's go ahead and pray for our message. Lord, thank you for this time that we can gather together, that we can look at your word. I pray, Lord, that you would guide me and direct me in the words that I say. I ask for your help and your help give me clarity of thought and of mind. I pray that the message would be helpful in the hearts and lives of the people that are here today. We ask for your blessings on the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the story of Jesus' incarnation is important because it was God's plan to send his son into the world in human flesh to ultimately pay our sin debt on Calvary. So it's so important. Christmas is traditionally the day when Christians celebrate Jesus coming to the earth. It's not the exact day he came. Some people get confused about that. We don't know the exact day that he came. Yet it is the time when Christians traditionally celebrate his birth. It's right to remember the birth of Christ because it's in the Bible. It's right to celebrate Christ's birth because it's in the Bible. It is part of God's holy word. And Christians through the years have believed it appropriate to celebrate the arrival of the Savior. And in time past, whenever they decided, they didn't look it up, we decided that January. That's coming. December 25th was the day that we would celebrate Christmas. And I think that's right and appropriate for us to remember, have a day that we remember that very important announcement. I mean, when you think about how important this announcement was to the shepherds in the, in history, in that moment in history, how important it is to hear about Christ's birth. Just think in verse 8, just think it says there, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Just think of the night so long ago when the angels appeared unto the shepherds. As they sat probably around a fire, they were suddenly met by the angel of the Lord. And maybe it was dark. Maybe the fire had died down. Maybe there wasn't a fire. Maybe they had a little lamp going someplace. But can you imagine the scene of the shepherds and the angel of the Lord came upon them? There was no mistaking this visitor for another shepherd. This meeting was like no meeting that they had experienced before. The quietness of this, the uniqueness of this special visitor was evident immediately. They didn't have to have somebody say, hey, this is somebody special. This is somebody different. For not only was the messenger unlike any they had seen before, the glory of the Lord was shining around about him. I mean, this was something that is just amazing. The word glory predominantly carries the idea of beauty, majesty, splendor. And when the angel appears with the glory of the Lord, it's the angel there. He can somehow see the angel, but there's such a bright and glorious light. You know, the glory of the Lord had long since departed the temple. It was gone. And this was the first time in centuries that God had chosen to reveal himself with his, you might say, Shekinah glory. And so this marks how special of an event this is. The glory of the Lord hadn't been seen. At times in past, the Lord had revealed himself in that way, but not for centuries. And so I think probably part of the reason, you know, I don't know the mind of the Lord, but it very well could be that God did not reveal himself for such a long time to mark how special this event was in human history. This was a special event and worthy of the shepherd's undivided attention. Gil said this, a commentator said this, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, or the very glorious and extraordinary light shone with surpassing luster and brightness all around them, by which light they could discern the illustrious form of the angel that was over them. You know, just think about that. We are used to bright lights at night. You drive down the highway and somebody has their bright lights on and it's like, whoa, it's blinding. We're used to blinding bright lights. You know, we're used to being able to go into a city and it's night, but it's all bright. So we're used to that. But just think of these shepherds. They're used to a campfire. They're used to a primitive lamp. They have seen nothing like this. No bright lights like this. They're just used to their quiet, night, maybe a few wolves here and there, but quiet nights. This light, obvious to them, would have been an indicator of divine presence. They no doubt had heard at times before of God appearing. They had heard of the Shekinah glory in the temple and how the Lord had led the Israelites with a fire by night. And to them, it would seem that this would be nothing else but divine presence. And the experience was so unlike anything that they had ever experienced that it caused them, they were afraid. They were deeply terrified by the appearance of the angel. Literally, it says, they feared with great fear. Fear on top of fear. Have you ever been afraid like that before? Just totally, you know, scared. I don't think any of us have ever experienced anything so frightening as that. Even though it wasn't meant to be frightening, just the idea of the glory of the Lord. I can't imagine if any one of us were walking out through a field at night and all of a sudden the glory of the Lord shone around about us. I think we'd be doing the same thing. We would fear with great fear. But this was not an occasion to fear. This was a time for rejoicing. And the angel tells them they were not to fear his appearing. For his message was not one of judgment, but one of blessing. The announcement from the angel was good news. It was good news. Fear not, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings or good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. This is what that word means. I bring to you good news. That translates the Greek verb euangelion. Euangelizo, which means to preach the good news. The noun euangelion is translated the word gospel. And you've all heard the gospel called good news. The gospel is good news. And basically the same word in verb form, the angel is basically good news to them. He's expounding to them. So when it says good news, it's just like the idea of preaching the gospel. He's giving them good tidings. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever received good news that brought you great joy? Good news, great joy. There was a, during World War II, there was a preacher, a Scottish preacher, and he was taken prisoner of war by the Germans. And there was a camp, an English camp and an American camp, right side by side. There was only a small space between the wired fences, but they didn't let them intertwine or intermingle. And this Scottish preacher, the Americans had no chaplain. And all of the people that had been taken captive, there was no chaplain. And there was more than one in the English camp. So he said, I will go over into the American camp. He spoke English. I will go over into the American camp and be their chaplain. And one day, while he was sleeping, somebody rushed into the barracks and started shaking him. Wake up! Wake up! Well, on the other camp, there was another Scottish man, and they both spoke Gaelic. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but Scottish, some type of Scottish language. And he wants to say something to you. It's something important. And so he gets up and he rushes over to the fence. Well, in the British camp, they had a hidden underground radio where they could listen to the BBC. How do they do that in a prisoner of war camp? How do they get a radio in there so they can listen to the BBC? But anyway, they had that there. And as he ran to the fence, the man on the other side said in Gaelic, they've come. It was D-Day. They understood our imprisonment is almost over. And as he went around the American camp spreading the news, people started jumping and shouting for joy. People started hugging one another. They were leaping in the air. They were rolling around on the ground. They were so excited because they knew their salvation was close. Freedom and deliverance were on the way. The message of Christmas is not only they've come, is not that they've come, but he's come. And he has come to set us free. And so even though Christ had not died on the cross yet, the message to the shepherd, the Messiah has come. And he's come to set us free. For the men in the camp that day, it was what? Good news. And although the shepherds that night did not understand all that this good news would entail, they did understand that this good news was not something to ignore. So what type of good news of great joy, what type of joy was the angel speaking of? It is the joy of knowing that God is at work in the world. Just think, they hadn't, for at least 400 years, the Israelites had heard nothing from God. I mean, think of that. That's a long time to have no real communications from God. And the nation had in the past had prophets, and at times God would appear to their leaders. And for 400 years, that had not happened. It is joy to know that God is at work in the world. And God was announcing to these shepherds the birth of the anointed one, the Messiah. The birth was that announced Christ the Lord. The Jews had been waiting for that day, and now the birth had been announced. And just like the men in the camp had been waiting for that day for their freedom, and they knew it was close, the Jews also had been waiting for the promised Messiah. And now for those at least who would believe in the words of the shepherd, that day was close. The Messiah was born. The Messiah was a little baby in Bethlehem. And it is good news for all people. Verse 10 at the end. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It's interesting that this good news was not shared with the high priest in Jerusalem or some prophet. Have you ever wondered about that? Why did God not go to the high priest and say, hey, the Messiah is born? Why did he not go to some high religious leader? Let me just put it into context. Why did he save us? Why are not kings and princes, and not saying there aren't any that are saved, but why does it seem like God saves lowly people like us? Now, you might not think of yourself as lowly, but you are. Why does God save us? Why did God use fishermen to spread his word? Why did God use shepherds to make this huge announcement to you? I mean, you would think that God would have gone into the center of Jerusalem and had his angel appear in the temple and make this great announcement. But yet, he announces it to lowly shepherds. We're not told, but I'm guessing these shepherds were more apt to receive the message than if it would have been given to the high priest of the day. Probably these shepherds were more apt to receive the message than if spoken in the temple. If it would have been given to kings or to the high priest, people might have thought, well, it's not truly for all people. But when it's given to lowly shepherds, some of the lowest probably people in the social structure, we can know that it is for all people. God loves all the people, even the lowly shepherds, even us. God loves us no matter our station in life. And he wants to bring news to all people, even those on the lowest structures of society. We know that in the early church, many of the saved people were slaves. Many of those who were saved, now there were some rich people, Lydia and others who were saved who were rich, but many of those who were saved were slaves. And so God's message does truly go to all people. No matter your station in life, the good news is for you as well. You know, probably at the time, the shepherds would have probably thought of all in the sense of the Jews in Jerusalem. That's what they would have probably thought of as all, or all the Jews. Thankfully, in the New Testament, we see that as Peter goes forth and reaches the Gentiles, we understand that this was for all people, not just Jews, but Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles alike. And this good news is still shared today. Jesus Christ the Lord was born on a day long ago, and it is still good news, which should bring great joy. I was wondering about this a little bit this morning as I was contemplating the idea of the good news and the great joy that's to all of us. And I wonder in my own heart, how much do I really take into account the birth of our Savior, and does it really bring me joy into my life? Do I rejoice that Jesus came to earth to save me? Do I really appreciate all that he did for me? Or am I apt to at times be grumpy about things that I should never be grumpy about, because I have a Savior who loves me, who died for me, who wants to help me through every trial and tribulation in life? And he came to earth to die for me. He came to earth as a little baby. And yet, I let the little things of life bother me. I let the little things of life take away the great joy that I have just knowing that Jesus died for my sins. Just knowing that I have a future in heaven. That this earth, you know, like the song says, this earth is not my home. It's not my final dwelling place. I do have a future in heaven. And even though I might have to feel like I suffer at times on the earth, that should not take away my joy. Because my joy, I'm thinking about going into Ephesians after we get done with Acts. And so I've been starting to study Ephesians. And it's hard not to start to bring that into messages, because when you start studying something a lot, it's like it starts getting in your head. And just go to the book of Ephesians and the first chapter and just read of all the blessings that we have and see how many times it talks about in Christ. For those who are in Christ, all the blessings that we have. And we today should understand that we have great blessings because a baby, the Lord Jesus, came to earth to eventually die on the cross. So we have reason to be thankful. Verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." Just like little Wesley's back there, all wrapped up. Have you put him in a stone manger yet? In an animal where, have you taken him out into the barn yet and made a stone manger? Probably would have been made of stone. Probably not like the wood, you know, the wood ones we see in the plays. Probably not that. Probably a stone manger with some hay thrown in there. And just think, How many mothers today would take their baby into that place where the animals have been used to be using and place them in there? So you've got a nice barn out there. Go build a manger and go, no, you're not going to do that, are you? Wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," being interpreted, God with us. That little baby, the Creator, became man. The one who, in the beginning in creation, spoke, and all things came to be. Let there be fish in the sea, and let there be birds, and let the earth be formed. When he made all of those pronouncements, the same one is now a baby in a manger. The Creator became a man. He came as a baby who could not speak or take care of himself. That is really inconceivable if you think about it. The Lord who created all things is now a baby who cannot speak, probably could cry like Wesley, probably did cry like Wesley, although without sin. So how does that work? Anyway, he placed himself in the loving arms of Mary and the care of Joseph. He knew the splendors of heaven, yet was laid in a manger meant for feeding, as a feeding trough for animals. Oh, the love of our Lord, how he gave up the splendors of heaven to become a little child and to go through all of those things. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through him, his poverty, might be made rich." Through his poverty, you could become rich. Think about that. Jesus Christ, born of Mary, came to this earth, submitted himself to all that that entailed, so that you could become rich. I don't think most of us really comprehend the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. We don't comprehend it, otherwise we would be more joyful. We would be more happy. We would more want to talk about Jesus on Christmas to our families. We would want to make this day and every day more about Jesus, because he has made us all rich. Yet sometimes we want to be rich in other ways. We have the riches of Christ, but we worry more about being rich. And Jesus, he also came as a Savior. Again, verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." What does it mean to have a Savior? A Savior is one who saves one from danger or destruction. When we talk about salvation, we think of the same general ideas. Salvation carries the idea of deliverance, safety, preservation, and healing. As Christians, we've been saved from the guilt of sin, John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You know, sometimes we feel guilty because of our sin, but Jesus Christ, when we confess our sins, we no longer have to feel guilt because of our sins. Remember David in Psalm 32, when he kept silence, His bones waxed old through his roaring all the day long, and he was just, when he didn't confess his sin with Bathsheba, his body was just like, and then when he confessed his sin, he says, when I confess my sin, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And that relieves guilt as well. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We've been saved from the guilt of sin. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. Ephesians 2:5, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with by Christ, by grace ye are saved. So we've been saved from the penalty of sin, and we are being saved from the habit of sin. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. So we've been saved from the habit of sin, and the Christian will be saved at the Lord's return from the bodily infirmities that are the result of sin and God's curse. So, today, Christmas Day, will you, or I hopefully you already have, as some of you have probably already done some amount of Christmas activities, whatever your family traditions are. I know I saw my wife was going back and forth with my son, Greg, and she was asking how their Christmas was, and the kids opened the stockings, but now they're going to church, and then they'll open their presents later on. So every family does something a little bit different as far as what they do on Christmas. But just let me challenge you, especially for you young families, make Christmas about Christ. Don't forget all the riches that you have today based upon Jesus coming to this earth, humbling himself to be this little baby, placed in a manger, the lowliest birth, you might say, for the highest king. And the riches that we have because of that, we should not forget this day. It is appropriate that we remember Jesus' birth. And like I said earlier, this isn't the actual day of the year. We don't, you know, some people, they try and figure it all out, and they might get close, but we probably don't know the exact day of his birth, but it's appropriate for us to take a day and to remember the birth of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today as we go about our day and about this season to remember all that you've done for us through Jesus Christ, all that he's, Christ sacrificed on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.